Would you stand with me one more time before we settle into the message for our verse? We'll say the reference, and then the verse, and then the reference. 1 John 4, 5, and 6. They are from the world, and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. 1 John 4, 5, and 6. Thanks, you can be seated. Those cards are available as you leave the sanctuary. They are also posted throughout the week on our Facebook page. Please make sure to check that out. All right, we're on the road with Paul and our missionary journey. We're going to be in Acts chapter 13, starting in verse 44. So make sure you get your copy of God's Word open to Acts 13, verses 44 and following. I want to take you on a trip this morning. I'm going to be vulnerable with you. Don't make me be the only one, all right? I need a couple people to help me out. I want to take you to midnight. Come on. It's midnight. You got that hankering. Come on. Is there anybody else other than me? Okay, good. Praise the Lord. We're going to be good today. Pastor Jerry, this is the good crowd. The rest of them just look at me like we don't understand. It's midnight, and I got this hankering. I figure I've got one of two options. I can go the good route and do the carrots and the celery and the broccoli. I try. I get out my carrots and I get out my ranch and I'm like, this is gonna taste just what I'm hungry for. And I eat a couple and it doesn't satisfy that craving within my soul, or at least my belly. So then it's definitely celery. It's definitely celery. So I get a couple of sticks of celery, put a whole lot of peanut butter and a little bit of celery. Put a couple of those down. That's just not it. Try some lettuce. That's not going to cut it. What I'm really hankering is a big old bowl of ice cream. Cookies and cream, mounded with Cool Whip. I'm getting hungry. Let's close in a word of prayer. I got to go. I could be hankering a good piece of apple pie. Oh. Could possibly be craving Oreos, double stuffed. That's what I'm hungry for. So I try everything else, and I finally say, I have to get it. So I open up the refrigerator door, get out my milk, get out my double stuffed, and I dunk, and I put it into my mouth. Oh, friends. It is a glorious meeting of the taste buds with the double stuffed Oreos. Why stop at one? Let's go two. Let's go three. Let's go four. Seven is the perfect number. That's God's number. But why stop at seven? Let's eat a whole sleeve to the glory of Jesus. Honey, what happened to the Oreos? I don't know. I think the girls ate them. But friends, what happens is that when we have a craving, we will not be satisfied until that craving is met by what we're hungry with. And as fun as it is to talk about Oreos and cookies and cream ice cream and brownies and apple pie and all that, I submit to you this morning that we are all craving God. And I think what's going on in our society is that people are trying to find that craving and meet that craving of God with the things of this world. And they're coming up short saying, it's just not what I want. I'm craving that thing I can't put my hand on. But when they find God, they go, oh, give me more. Give me more. That is where we're going to be this morning of talking about craving God. So hopefully by now you're in Acts chapter 13, the second part of the chapter. We have been going through Paul's first missionary journey. We crossed Cyprus where we picked up the governor and he had this revival. We came up into Perga and we talked about the first conflict, the ministry with John Mark, who left the ministry and went back home. Came up into Antioch, and we've been in Antioch for 3 weeks, including this week, where this is Paul's longest recorded sermon in the Gospels and in all of Scripture. So today, we will leave Antioch, and we will head to Iconium by the end of the service, which is about 8 miles away, but we have to finish what's going on in Antioch. Are you there? Acts chapter 13, starting in verse 44, the next Sabbath day, nearly all the city assembled. Let me go back and just remind us where we were last week. Paul and Barnabas are in the synagogue, and Paul is preaching, and he is presenting the gospel, and people are saying, we want more. Give us more. We're so hungry and craving for this. We want more. And they follow Paul and Barnabas out saying, we must hear more. Continue to minister to us. And we left here with the challenge. We continue to walk in the grace of God. Do not allow this message to stay in this building. We must take it outside of these four walls. So if you read verse 44, the next Sabbath, nearly all the city assembled. Friends, we can read right through that in an earnestness to get to Scripture. In a moment of vulnerability, I missed what happened. You need to read into it. We don't want to read into Scripture, but we also don't want to miss what happened throughout the week. What was going on during the week? Paul and Barnabas were ministering in the community. There were small groups happening. There was discipleship happening. The word of the Lord continued to go through the city, and there was momentum. There was the big push. There was it. They had it. They had momentum. People were excited, and they came back in droves to hear the word of God preached. What a great testimony to the power of God's word. The city was hungry for it. They were looking in all the wrong places. They were eating the carrots and the celery and the lettuce going, it's just not matching the craving. And then they finally said, we have found what we are looking for. Give me more. So the whole city, nearly all, the city came and assembled. What did they come to hear? When you woke up this morning, you had a decision to make, whether you're in person or online. You had the decision to come to church. It's a beautiful day. You could have gone out to the lake. You could have gone someplace else. You could be at the grocery store buying Oreos. But you're here. And what did you come to hear? You came to hear the word of God. You did not come to hear my analysis of the political spectrum. You did not come to hear my analysis of the NFL football season or the Major League Baseball season or hockey or basketball or you put in there. You didn't come to hear me give cooking tips. Friends, you came this morning to hear the word of God. And that is what is going on in the first missionary journey with Paul. And don't miss what Paul did do. Paul continued to drive people and push people back to the word of God. Why? Because they are craving something that only God can satisfy. A lot of good going on, all right? So for the rest of the morning, I'm going to walk between this side and this side of the table. On this side is the first group of people, the people that are anxious to hear the word of God, the people that are craving the word of God, the people that are saying, give me more. But in verse 45, you're going to see the other side. But but introduces a contrast. So we have a lot of good going on. Give me more this momentum, this we want to hear the word of God preached. We desire that. You come on this side of the table. When the Jews saw the crowds, what's their response? They're jealous. They were filled with jealousy. They are driven not by the word of God, but they are driven by their own fleshly and carnal desires. And they see the crowds coming to the synagogue going, they didn't come when I was preaching, therefore I am jealous. And look at what their jealousy did to them. Look at how far their jealousy took them. They were filled with jealousy and they began contradicting the things spoken of by Paul. Give me more. We want to hear this. You don't want to hear this. Now we have controversy. Now we have conflict. Now you have this push against the gospel. And people, the Jewish people, are standing up and they're contradicting the things spoken of by Paul. Why? Because they're jealous. And it just doesn't stop there of verbally saying, oh, you don't want to believe that. Look at what they do. The Jewish people take it a step further, and they are blaspheming. What is blaspheming? They are speaking evil against God or against Christ. The Jewish people are standing here, hearing the word of God preached, and they are in great opposition to it. Their jealousy is fueling them. Their jealousy is driving them so much so that they speak against the maker of heaven and earth, the one that sent Jesus Christ to die for their sins. Why? If you're following along, they are contradicting what's being said, and not just contradicting, they're blaspheming. Why? Because of their jealousy. Their jealousy has driven them, has motivated them, has steered them to speak against God Himself. And I wonder this morning, friends, is there any jealousy in your heart? Is there anything going on in your heart and in your soul that you'd say, I just want that. I am so jealous. I am so envious. I am so coveting that. It can be the car, it can be the truck, it could be the house, it can be the job, it can be the spouse, it can be you name it. And you look at that person and go, I want that. And you begin to harbor jealousy. I just wonder this morning, friends, how far your jealousy has pushed you. Because when I read through this, I was convicted. And I was challenged by saying, what is there jealous in my heart? Because jealousy will take you as far as you allow it to take you. Look at what the Jewish people are doing. Because of their jealousy, they are standing up and contradicting the very words that God is speaking through the Apostle Paul. And I just wonder this morning, how far has your jealousy pushed you? How far will you allow your jealousy to push you? It's a very good question that we can wrestle with this morning. Paul and Barnabas, they see this conflict, all right? So, again, we have the Gentile people on my right, the ones that are craving the word of God. You have the Jewish people on my left, not all the Jewish people, but some. Enough to cause a controversy, saying, we don't want this and we're speaking against this. Paul and Barnabas, now they're in the middle. People desiring God's word, people speaking against God's word. There's conflict in ministry. There's conflict when you share the gospel. And I wish I could stand up here this morning and tell you, just accept Jesus and everything in your life is going to work out fine. That's not how it's going to be. Oftentimes, when we take that step of faith and become fully committed disciples of Christ, our life sometimes, in the world's eyes, hits roadblocks. But here comes Paul and Barnabas. What do? They have this conflict. Now they have opposition. The Jewish people are speaking against them. The Gentile people are saying, give me more. Paul and Barnabas. They spoke out boldly. What's their response? When there's controversy, what are they driven back to? They're driven back to the written word of God. And they don't skirt back. They don't retreat out of fear. They step up and say, hey, listen, time out. We're going to speak boldly the word of God in and through conflict. They said it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first. Who's he addressing? He's addressing the Jewish people. Why? Because in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says the gospel goes first to the Jewish people. Why? Because the Jewish people are God's chosen people. And he says, this group of people, the Jewish people, they deserve to hear the word of God first. Paul says, I'm coming to you. I'm bringing the gospel to you. I'm bringing the word of God first. You get first fruits. You get first dibs. But you reputed it. You rejected it. How did the Jewish people reject it? See the previous verses. They spoke against it. They said, we want nothing to do with this. It's not for me. So he says, since you consider yourself unworthy of eternal life. Stop there. Who rejected who? Well, if you were sitting with me across the table, you would say, the Jewish people rejected God. They heard the word of God and they said, I don't want anything to do with it. Paul says, you have reputed it. You have rejected it. It was given to you. You said you wanted nothing to do with it. Therefore, since you don't want it, we're going to turn to the people that do want it. We're going to turn to the Gentiles that are sitting there saying, give me more. Give me more. They're the ones that are craving it. So since you want nothing to do with it, we'll turn to the Gentiles. Paul says, for the Lord so has commanded us. Look at what Paul's doing. Paul and Barnabas, first thing they're doing, they're speaking boldly. They're not backing down from conflict. They're not running away from conflict. They're stepping up and saying, we need to speak the truth and we need to speak the word of God. Second of all, what do? During conflict, they go back to the things that they know. And Paul and Barnabas are saying, the Lord has commanded us, and I have appointed you. God is speaking to them. What are they doing? They're going back to Acts 13, verse 2. In the middle of conflict, what are they doing? They're going back to the call of God upon their heart. And when tough times come, they have said, this is my stake in the ground. You may not be happy with what I'm hearing and what I'm saying, but here is what you need to hear. God has called me to preach the gospel to you. But since you want nothing to do with it, I'm going to preach the gospel to you. But here's what I do know. God has appointed me to preach the gospel. And when life becomes difficult, friends, you need to have an anchor, a stake in the ground that says, I will not go past this point. You can draw a line in the sand. There's so many different metaphors for what we can say here. But friend, this morning, I want to ask you, what's your stake in the ground? I would submit to you, make it the word of God. As for me, I will serve the Lord. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Paul and Barnabas, they've got two groups of people. The Jewish people, I don't want it. The Gentile people, I want it. Paul and Barnabas saying, we're standing on the word of God. How about you? What are you standing on? When push comes to shove, what are you going to stand on? So the Gentiles, when they heard this, what did they hear? Hey, we're no longer going to the Jews. Our focus is going to be on the Gentiles. Look at the Gentiles' response. When the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. Are you taking notes this morning? Look at this. the Jewish people. You get the gospel first. All push goes to you. All the effort goes to you. Look at their response to the gospel. We want nothing to do with it. We're going to speak against it. We're even going to blaspheme, speak against God. The Gentiles are saying, give me more. I actually want it, and I want to glorify and rejoice in the word of God. Give me more. Go back to my illustration. When you find that thing you've been craving, you eat the whole bag. Why? Because it's so satisfying. Here come the Gentile people saying, give me more. Why? Because I finally found what I'm craving. And all who have been appointed to eternal life believe. And look at what 49 says. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout the whole region. An evangelism explosion has happened. Not with the Jewish people, but with the Gentile people saying, give me more. I want more. I want more. Why do they want more? Because they're rejoicing and glorifying and rejoicing in the word of God. So the question I have for you this morning, are you rejoicing and celebrating God's word? So many times we come to church and it's Sunday morning, it's 10:30, everybody get in the car, we got to hurry up and get to church because we've got to go hear about the love of Jesus. Honey, where's my Bible? Have you seen my Bible? I don't know where my Bible is. I just wonder this morning, do you celebrate and rejoice because you have had the opportunity to come to the house of God? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. The Gentile people are jumping and celebrating because somebody has finally brought the gospel. Give me more. I wonder if you are living today saying, this is what I've been craving. Give me more. Or is it just I'll get to it when I have time. Are you rejoicing and are you celebrating in the word of God? Notice what's going on. Verse 50, but again, we see the contrast. Lots of revival happening. Give me more of the gospel. We can't wait for you to come. Come on, get here. But the Jewish people, look at their response to the gospel. The Jewish people incited the devout women of prominence. Who is that? Two different groups of people that could possibly be mentioned. The first group of women would be the business owners. Women that own businesses during this time, they got them together to rile them up and to get them in the controversy. The second group of women could have been the wives of the male business owners, which is the second part, the leading men. So they got the leading men and their wives together to cause this great controversy. And so let's read this again. The Jewish people, they incited the devout women of prominence and the leading men of the city. They got them all riled up. They got them all stirred up because they did not like what they were hearing. So much so that they took it to the next level. They instigated a persecution. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I think 24 and 25. Paul says, I was beaten with rods. So it wasn't bad enough. Go back a couple of verses. It wasn't bad enough. Don't actually go back, Tyler. In your Bibles, turn back to a couple of verses. It was bad enough that they just didn't speak against God's word. It wasn't bad enough that they blasphemed against God's word. Now they're taking this step, and what are they doing? They're showing and demonstrating persecution. They are putting pain on the life of Paul and Barnabas. They are physically beating these men of God who are bringing the word to them. And they drove them out of their region. Paul and Barnabas are not going to stay around and be flogged or beaten with rods. They're going to be driven away. Look at the difference in their response to the gospel. Again, on this side is the Gentile people. We love the word of God. We crave the word of God. Give me more of the word of God. You have the Jewish people on this side saying, we don't want the word of God. We're going to speak against the word of God. And now we're causing physical harm to anybody that's speaking the word of God. Look at the difference in the response and the reaction to the preaching of the word of God. And Paul and Barnabas, they have said, we're going to stand on the word of God. And they took a beating for it. How about you? We live in America. My humble opinion, the greatest nation in the world. Where we have freedoms that we enjoy, but there are those overseas that don't have the freedoms that we have. And they have had to draw a line in the sand and say, this is where I stand. I would challenge you this morning, where are you going to stand if persecution would come? Because it came for Paul and Barnabas. And they went and they persecuted them and they drove them from their region. Look at what verse 51 says. But, you see the contrast? Great persecution's coming, but they shook the dust off from their feet in protest. What does that mean? Well, when you go to the lake this afternoon, you're going to have on your sandals and you're going to get little pieces of sand or stone in your flip-flops, right? Okay, it happens to me. It's okay. You're going to have sand in your flip-flops. The Jewish people have such a hatred for the Gentiles that if they would accidentally go into their region, they don't want to bring any of the Gentile dirt from them. So they would walk from a Gentile, if they would happen to get there, a Gentile area, they would come to the line of their Jewish nation, the Jewish land, and they would say, I don't even want to bring anything Gentile with me. So they would take their sandal off, and they would dump it, shake all the dust, because God forbid any of that pagan Gentile stuff would come into their land. And then they would come and step forward. What they're saying is, literally, we want no part of the Gentile nation. We want no part of you. We want no part of that pagan protest. So Paul and Barnabas, after they are beaten with rods, they leave the town, and in a demonstration that the Jewish people would see, and they would understand, Paul and Barnabas take off their sandal, shake the dust, and they walk off. I'm done. We've tried to share the gospel with the Jewish people. You have rejected it. You have spoken against it. You have spoken evil of God against it. And now you've beaten me, literally beaten me. I'm done. I'm done with you. I'm going to shake the dust off and I'm going to walk away. We say that, and I want to stop right here. Have you ever shared the gospel? And you've poured your heart, soul, mind, and strength as much as you earthly can do to present the gospel clearly to someone. And they looked at you and said, you know, I'm just not interested. I don't want to read into scripture. I don't ever want to do that. But I read a lot of heartache here. You're so close. God loves you and desires that relationship with you. And you don't want it. I said, okay, we're going to shake the dust off, we're going to move on, and we're going to go to Iconium, 8 miles away. We'll be there next week. But look at what happens in verse 52. The disciples, amidst all that heartache, amidst all that sorrow and fear, well, they just beat Paul for standing up for the gospel. But notice what they're driven by. They are filled with joy. And they are filled with the Holy Spirit. Amidst all this circumstance, amidst all this persecution, now there's conflict. We want the gospel. We don't want the gospel. Give me more. We're going to beat you for it. The disciples step back and go, we are filled with joy. And this morning I wonder, and I ask you the question, are you rejoicing in all circumstances? It is easy for me to be joyful and happy when everything is going my way. I have no problem with that. Are you with me? When things are going your way, hey, woohoo, praise the Lord, right? It's just me. But when things are not going my way, I'm not so quick to jump up and say, yay, praise the Lord. But here comes Paul and Barnabas, coming out, literally being beaten for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the disciples are looking around saying, we're full of joy. I wonder this morning, are you rejoicing in all the circumstances? I don't know what's coming up for you this week. I don't know what kind of meetings you have. I don't know what kind of doctor's appointments you have. I don't know what kind of job situation you have. But I know that there is rejoicing that can happen. I do not know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And I wonder this morning, friends, if you can look up and say, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to rejoice in all circumstances because I know that God is in control. Three questions we're going to have this morning from our message. The first one is, we're looking at jealousy in our hearts. Are you a person that is wrestling with jealousy? Are you a person that struggles with jealousy, that has jealousy in your heart? Second question is, are you rejoicing and celebrating in God's word? Are you spending time with God's word? Are you craving God's word? And then the third one is, are you rejoicing in all circumstances? Next week, we're going to be on the road to Iconium, and we're going to see God's word continue to grow. But friends, this morning, I just wonder, has God been working in your heart and your soul through the preaching of his word this morning? Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? As you close your Bibles and as you get ready to go, I don't want to miss an opportunity to pray for you. I'm not going to call you out. Hopefully by now we've been together for 4 or 5 weeks. My point is not to embarrass you. My point is not to call you out by name. My point is to pray for you as your pastor. And I just wonder if there's anybody here this morning to slip up your hand and say, you know what, in a moment of vulnerability with you, Tom, I am struggling with jealousy. There's something in my heart that's not right. Would you pray for me? Would you slip up your hand? I won't call you out by name, but I'd love to pray for you. Is there anybody here this morning that, would you pray for me because I want to celebrate God's word. I want to rejoice in God's word. I want to take the time to enjoy what God is teaching me through his word. Would you pray that this week I would enjoy God's word and crave God's word? Is there anybody here I could pray for that week? I see those two hands, 3, 4, 5. Praise the Lord. Is there anybody here this morning that says, would you pray for me because I've got a big week? It could go one way or the other, but in any circumstance, I want to say praise the Lord. I want to rejoice in all circumstances. Would you pray for me? I see that one hand. Thank you. 2, 3, 4, 5. Lord, I'm so thankful for your word. Thankful for the example that Paul and Barnabas gave us. Lord, I pray that you might help us to evaluate our hearts and see if there is any jealousy in it. Lord, we understand what jealousy can do, and we see the devastating effects of jealousy. So, Lord, if there's anyone here that is struggling with jealousy, may they be challenged by your word and then comforted by your word, that you can remove that. Lord, I pray for those that are saying, you know what, I want to love God's word. Lord, give us a craving, give us a hunger that can only be met by spending time with you through your word and prayer. I pray for those that are vulnerable to that, that this will be a good week, that they spend time in your word. And Lord, for those that are facing a week of uncertainty, may they walk out saying, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds my future. And I pray that we would be men and women, boys and girls, that rejoice in all circumstances. Lord, we do love you. We do want to honor you and glorify you. Lord, continue to move in and through us. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.